Good morning. Welcome to South Haven Christian Church and happy Mother's Day to all our moms out there this morning. On your way in this morning, you were handed a bulletin, and inside is our silent roll call card. If you're a guest, please fill out the side that says guest, members, the opposite side, any prayer concerns or announcements. Please fill it out on there and put it in the offering plate, the offering time. If this is your first time here at South Haven, we welcome you. We have a guest book in our foyer. If you didn't sign it on the way in, you can sign it as you exit today. And before we begin, we're going to do our morning.
Good morning. I'd like to read from God's Word. Psalm 51, 13 and 14 says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness."
If everyone will please stand, we're going to begin worship by singing "We Won't Be Shaken."
Life is not my own. I know you go before me, and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher, the way seems so unclear. But I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you.
Shaking, whatever will come our way, through fire. Testing. All right, let's come back to our seats, if we will. And you can have a seat, please. Thank you for coming and sharing with us today. Special day, of course, Mother's Day. And on Mother's Day, if you're new with us, just now visiting or weren't here last Mother's Day, we tried to honor a few of our mothers in a special way, just to kind of let everybody know. We got a variety of mothers here from different backgrounds, different situations, and and we just try to bring that out a little bit. A couple of changes this year. Some of you may be looking for that carnation. You know, did anybody get a carnation today? Good, you shouldn't have. But we have a basket full of little bags, full of, I would just say, goodies, I guess, without identifying all the different kinds of chocolate and various things that are in this little bag. And they're in a big basket. And when you leave today, mothers, do we have a lot of kids in here? No, we don't. That's good. When you leave, mothers and women, because I think we have enough for both, we just didn't want the kids to grab, you know, a handful of those bags before we got it to in the hands of all the mothers. So it'll be back there in the foyer as you're leaving. That is to thank you for coming, sharing with us today, and hopefully something that will maybe last more than an hour. Carnations didn't seem to last much more than that as people left. All right, now, we usually give out some corsages as well, but we're not doing that this year. But I do have a helper right over here, Maureen, that's going to be moving very quickly to give at least 8 mothers a special box, okay, that we want to recognize you for a category. And so we're going to start right now with our youngest mother present. Our youngest mother present. And I was listening to the news this past week, and they're saying that the youngest mothers are not teenagers anymore, and they're not 20-something anymore. They tend to be in their early 30s for some reason. I don't know what's going on, but you know, in my day, it was late teen, early 20s is when you saw mothers coming on the scene very quickly. But today we're going to start, though. We're going to start. Do we have a mother here that's 20 and younger? Because I never know on a special day who's here, who comes. If you're a mother and you're 20 years or younger, let's honor you. See, now as I go up, it gets a little dicey, you know, but I always like to see that first one hit, you know, with one hand going up. But all right, so how about 25 and younger? 25 and 30. We have a mother. Again, we're honoring the youngest mother present, all right, 30 years and younger. You see, that report was true. That's why I wanted to start with that. You know, young mothers are not what you think are young anymore, maybe. They're just a little more mature, is the way I see it. All right, 35. And all right, I see one hand. I see two hands. Any more? Two hands. All right. So we just have to cut it in the middle. How about 33 and younger? Is there a hand? Oh, 33. So we have one right over here. Ah. Wait a second. Can you prove that you are that young mother? Where's your baby? Oh, all right. We just need a little proof there. All right, very good. Moving on, we want to honor the mother with the shortest time between the birth of her children, which means there's more than one here. And we could cut to the chase. Do we have any mothers that have twins? You know, you can just cut it right. Oh, wait a second. There we got a hand. One mother here who had twins. Yes? You see how that works? That's so much easier. All right. I am a twin. And the time, I'm going to ask you the time difference there, but I am seven minutes older than my twin sister. And what's the time back in the back? What was the time between the kids?
2 minutes.
Well, that was fast. All right. Well, my mother, it wasn't, see, and I was 7 minutes ahead of my sister. So, yes, that makes sense. All right, thank you very much. Number three, we'd like to honor the mother here today with, got to figure this out now, thank you, mothers. We want to honor the mother today here with the oldest mother still living, and she does not have to be here today. We want to honor you because you have that mother somewhere. She may be with you. I don't know. So let's start. Do we have a mother here whose mother is 90 and younger? All right. We got one. We got two. Your hand up. You got a mother that's... Oh, wait a second. Oh, wait. Now, I need to do that the other way then. I messed up there. All right, let's start. Do we have a mother here who has a mother who's 100 years or younger? 100 years or younger. All right, I got one hand. And younger, all right. Two, all right. We got several. All right, now we'll go down to, do we have a mother here who has a mother who's 95 and older? 95 and older. We're catching that 5 year. 95. All right. Now we already know there's 94 right over here. So do we have any other mothers here who has a mother who's 94 and older? All right, Maureen. And you get to keep one of those boxes there, Maureen. And her mother is at home and alive and well, doing well, health-wise. All right, we'd like to honor next here the mother who has the most family present in church today. The mother who has the most family. All right, so... I would think that if you have a huge family, the matriarch, the grandma is probably going to be the one who can claim the most. Do we have one here with five and more family here? All right, I see one hand, two hands, three hands. All right, how about six and more? Still two hands, seven and more. Your hands down now, seven. All right, I see one. Becky Cedar right there. How many you have here?
Seven.
Right on the nose. All right, very good. All right. Now we like to honor the grandmother who has the youngest grandbaby. Present or not. And know that we don't give two prizes to the same mother. All right, so, but let's see here. The mother, the grandmother. We're looking for grandmothers now. the grandmother who has the youngest grandbaby. All right, and the baby, let's say, first of all, grandmothers, we want to recognize you first. All our grandmothers, raise your hand. We should have quite a few grandmothers. Yes, all right. Now, do any of you have a grandbaby that's 2 years and younger? Oh, quite a few. 1 year and younger. One year. I see one, two, three. All right, four. Four. All right, so let's go down to 6 months. 1, 2, 6 months on a grandbaby. All right, 3 months. Keep your hand up now. Keep your hand up. Anybody else looking? It is you. By 5 days. All right. And you know, only grandmothers would know that. 5 days. I'm ahead. All right, very good. Now let's honor the mother here who is the newest Christian among us. And I like to keep this doctrinally sound. I know lots of people use all kinds of trigger points as to when they became a Christian, but in our church we believe that moment is in the moment of baptism, immersion, Christian immersion. That'll be your reference point. So mothers, think about when you were immersed into Christ. Add up those years. Got it? And do we have a mother here who's only been a Christian for a year? 1 year. All right, I see one hand up. Anybody else? All right, I see Tammy back there with her hand up. So, all right, now let's flip the coin. I like to honor the mother here who's the oldest Christian, using the same reference point in your time of immersion into Christ. You got to do a little more math there, but do we have a mother here who's been a Christian for 50 plus years? All right, I see one hand, two hands, I see four hands. All right, how about 55 years? Still a hand? That's still three. 60 years. 65 years. All right, we're down. I still see a hand, and is that your, Pat, your hand still up? All right, 65, 60, 68 years. I still see a hand back here. 68 years, 70 years. You've been a Christian for 70 years. Hand still up, hands up. 75 years. Woo. Woo. 75. All right, 70. Two hands still up. 78. 78 years. Hands up or down? Down. 70. How many years has she been a Christian? 82. Wow. All right, very good. And don't know if this will muddy the waters, but our last category, you still have one box, right?
Yeah.
We do want to honor the oldest mother present here today. The oldest mother. Now we know a mother back there is, what, 80, 82 by Christian standards, not age-wise, physical age. But so let's start at 90. How many mothers do we have here that are 90 and older? We have to have one over here. Any other mother here 90 and older? All right. Now, because we're not going to give out two to the same. Let's go down because I need to know who's second, though. How about 85 and older? A mother here that's 85 and older. I see one hand here, one hand back here. you won't be 85 till Friday? All right. How old are you? 87. Do we have another? Anybody here that's 87? And, well, we know she's older, but I'm looking for second place here. So, right here. All right. All right. Well, thank you for letting us explore a few things here today. We're going to turn this back over to Joey and our praise team here. But thank you for coming. And don't forget, mothers, as you leave today, there will be a basket in the back. And I'll say it now because I don't want someone to miss this at the end either if we get busy with some things. But dinner is luncheon right after our service, provided for all mothers here today. Now, if you didn't know that today or not, just know there's plenty of food. Come on, come join us. We'd love to have this opportunity to serve you. The men of our church want to serve all of our mothers lunch right after our service. And you know, if you're going out to eat, let's weigh it. 2 hours, 15 minutes. 2 hours, 15 minutes, you know. And that'll be the big difference between staying with us and maybe going out and having to wait. But again, thank you for all that you do, mothers, for us each and every day.
As we get ready for prayer, we're going to be singing Holy, Holy, Holy.
prayer needs that were shared with me here this morning. First of all, Charles Mulliken went into the hospital yesterday afternoon, I think, with some chest pains. A little concerned there, but fortunately was in there, and so far so good. I don't know if he knows all the concerns there yet, but he's resting today, and hopefully we'll come home maybe today. So let's just pray that maybe that was just a warning call for him, and maybe they caught all that in time for his good health. Judy Turner, she's not with us, I don't think, here today, but she she had breast cancer and had surgery for that, and I think it's just important to know that kind of the place where that was and removed, there's something else back already, and I don't know what that's all about. She doesn't either until she goes and has some tests done, I think this week, but she's very concerned about that and the cancer. It was cancer that was removed before, and whether or not it's that again, and if she's still battling this, I'm sure she would like to have wisdom to make some wise decisions concerning whatever they discover on her time back in the office there. Ed Bowman would like us to pray for a couple of things. I would share with you that he's letting us know that his vision is getting worse, seeing less and less of us. And so we need to pray for that. I know he has cataract surgery that is needed, and I'm not sure if it's scheduled yet, but I know he needs it, and we hope that that will take place quickly. He's also made application, and he's hoping to get some kind of response back to the School of the Blind. I'm not sure what the name of it is here in town. That's who you're networking with, I believe, right? Okay, yes. And trying to see if they're able to maybe help with job placement with someone with the disability of sight. And so just a number of issues all related with his eyesight, and trying to move on with a quality of life as best as possible through the helps that he can get. And then Stacy's cousin Taylor, I'm just trying to make sure we understand the right person here. Stacy's cousin Taylor, his brother, I don't have the name, his brother found his two-year-old face down in the pool yesterday, and he's still alive, but he's not out of the woods yet. So if you can just pray for this family and this little boy. All right, let's go to God in prayer as we take these before his throne here today. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful Lord's Day, this day that we can honor your son Jesus, all that he does, all that he did. And we know that one of the things he did was to allow us access to your throne room. And so we bring a number of needs to you today. I pray for Charles Mulliken. I pray that his time in the hospital will be short. I pray that hopefully they have gotten to the bottom of the pain that he was having and figured out a plan of action, and that he can go home as quickly as possible. I pray for Judy Turner, Father. I pray that you might help her with some wisdom as she tries to analyze and get info from the test that will allow her to know what she needs to do. I know that breast cancer is a scary ordeal, Father, and what needs to be done or what should be done. And I just pray that you'll help her. Help her decide quickly what would be the best plan of action. Father, I pray for Bill Grimes. I know that we've been praying for him for some time. He's just had a number of health issues that's kept him in one facility or another, and he's still there, Father, but we did get a good report this week that he was beginning to feel just a little better and able to cope a little better. And so we continue to pray that you'll hopefully help him through this horrible time that's causing so much havoc in his life right now, and may get on the better side of his health, and perhaps be able to go home after many weeks of not having been there. I pray, Father, for Ed Bowman here today. I know that his eyesight has been gradually getting worse. He's telling us, Father, his church family, that it hasn't slowed down. It's continuing in the wrong direction. And so we just ask for your help, Father, your intervention, your healing hand upon that eyesight. We pray that you might be able to give him some hope through the blind services that are here in town. And I know that he's made application for some help and some direction and maybe a job possibility through them. Cataract surgery, Father, needs to be scheduled and needs to happen quickly. We hope that nothing could slow that down, hopefully, and that he can soon have some relief brought to him through that procedure. But lift him up, Father. Help him to know that he's never alone, and that you're going to walk him through this as best you can. We know that's all that we ask, and pray that you'll bless his life at this time. Father, I pray for I pray for our country. I pray for war around the world. We know that it's devastating and horrible to see how many lives are unnecessarily being destroyed and killed without any mercy or any grace at all, and just pray for an ending of this war that rages right now. Pray for those that have a word to inject, maybe can make a difference, and we pray for that soon. Also, Father, pray for all the churches during this COVID time. We know that many churches have suffered greatly. Statistically, many are half the size that they were before COVID hit, and so they struggle. And so I pray that you'll help each congregation the best you can, help them to stay strong. I also pray, Father, that you'll be with congregations that maybe even now are having difficulties, and we know that Port Orange has been brought to our attention, a sister congregation. We know that we know, Father, you are in control of all things. We pray for your church there in Port Orange. We pray that no matter what has happened, what has taken place, that peace and vitality can come back to that church quickly. We need all your churches, Father, all your mass units active and on the front lines, actively seeking and saving the lost. And sometimes when there are those internal battles and struggles, sometimes we can get our eyes off of the real goal and the real reason why we're here. And so to that end, Father, I pray that all churches here in Daytona, all Christian churches, sister congregations can encourage and help and motivate and challenge one another to the best of our abilities. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Soul, oh my soul, worship His Good morning. Well, big crowd here today. Happy Mother's Day. Today I want to talk about our mothers in relation to Jesus also. In Exodus 21:12, it reads, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Also in Ephesians 6:1-3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." There is a lot of truth to that. A mother is the first one that a newborn sees when entering into this world. She gives nourishment to the newborn, just as Jesus gives his newborn babes in Christ the spiritual nourishment that we need to grow in his word. Jesus is the one we put our faith and trust in. When we are born again, mothers are always there for us when we have hurt feelings. When we get down and out and no place to turn, she is the one person we tell our troubles to, just as we tell our troubles to the Lord. A mother seems to always know when we're upset or discouraged or heartbroken. She wants to protect us from all harm. Her love seems to be never-ending for our cares and our wants. Just as Jesus heals our hearts and soul and spirit from this curse that we have called sin, Jesus tells us in his word he will always be with us even to the end of the age. A mother is always true blue and loves us no matter how many mistakes in life that we encounter. Just as she gave us life into this world, Jesus gives us life for all eternity by simply believing on his name and being baptized into his finished work. In 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept." He rose victorious. What Jesus did for us upon the cross, shedding his own blood for the remission of our sins to be taken away forever. In John 19:26-27, Jesus said this to his mother. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother, the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home." Jesus, even while dying on the cross for all man's sins, taking on the whole world of sins upon himself, he still took the time to instruct John to care for Mary, his mother. Jesus, knowing all things, knew that she would be taken care of. Just as a mother takes care of her children, and we that are in fellowship with him, Jesus takes care of his own. Also, today we look forward to taking the Lord's Supper. Do this as often as you like. Remember, he was the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus did by giving his life for ours. So when we come to the table today and we take the Lord's Supper, reflect and remember what he did for us with his body and his blood he shed for us for our remission of sins. Christ did pay the ultimate price for us, and we should honor him like that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for the love that you've given us, that you give us the perfect gift, your Son. Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us. And we thank you for Christ's body and his blood shed for our sins. Father, we thank you for everything And Lord, as we go out throughout this day, I pray that you'll be with us and bless the mothers here today also. And Father, I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
And that you give to us each and every day. At this time of the offering, we're turning back to you a little bit of your many blessings that you give us first. Bless the gift and the giver, and guide us to spend it according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The King is exalted on high, and I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. Exalted, the King.
Bibles with you this morning. I invite you to turn with me to the first book of our New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 15. And if you'll just hold that until we get there. Just before we get started, unfinished business. That's what happens when you get inundated with lots of prayer requests and trying to sort them and keep everything straight and what needs to be done. But I forgot to pray for one individual that we need to pray for right now. So if you'll bow your heads with me, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to your throne once again with a leader here in our church in mind. We want to pray for Al Miles' father. We know that he's here today. He's been doing a lot these last few days, but I know, Father, his health is not spot on. It's not as good as it needs to be. He's struggling just a bit, but he's waiting. He's waiting for some report to come on Tuesday. So I pray for that day coming. I pray that the report would be something good, something workable, something that will get him back to his normal self. We thank you, Father, that he's done such a wonderful job coming and stepping up to be a deacon here within our church. Huge responsibility when you consider we have almost 20 widows in such a small congregation. And he's poured his heart out, Father, for that ministry and for others, for other ministries too. But I just pray that right now in this hour he'll feel your strength, your presence, and bless his coming week here. In Jesus' name, amen. In the year 1914, Miss Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was instrumental in founding Mother's Day. Through the help of a judge, the idea of Mother's Day was then introduced into the House of Representatives. It was passed, and on May 9th, 1914, President Wilson proclaimed that the second Sunday in May would always be Mother's Day. Now, I find it interesting that it was this country, believe it or not, that was the first nation to honor its mothers with a holiday, a national holiday. I'm glad that we have this day each year to recognize our mothers, but I hope and pray that it is not the only time that we think of our mothers or honor them or praise them for all that they do within our lives. We were previewed just a bit, thank you very much, with our communion meditation this morning. Do you know that the Bible commands us to honor our mothers? Yes, they do. So let's pull our Bibles out now. I think this is going to be on our screen as well, if you want to follow along there. The background to this passage that I'm about to read is that Jesus is trying to correct the Pharisees and the scribes of his day on their misunderstanding of the fifth commandment of the moral law of God. It's very important to understand that as we start this. He's trying to correct a misnomer. A tradition had been devised that changed it. And so he's trying to get them back on the straight and narrow. So let's look at this, if we will. Chapter 15, I'm just kind of breaking into the context here. In verse 3, Jesus replied, he's talking to these Pharisees and scribes. He says, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." And we'll stop right there. All right, so there he's putting it on the line. He's saying, "What are you doing, guys? You can't change the word of God." See, the Pharisees and the scribes came up with this very slick tradition. And just know, it was to pad their pockets there at the temple. They would tell people that, you know, go to your mom and dad, be sincere when you talk to them, and just say, "You know, mom, dad, you know, all the money I've been saving up to help you in these last years of your life, I'm going to devote it to God." Really? Now, whether the parent knew the tradition or not, which I think they did, that then freed them up, because they simply told their mom and dad that they're going to give that money down to the temple house. We're going to give it to God. Then that just frees you from that moral obligation. And Jesus, here on this occasion, says, "No way. You're breaking the law. That's not what that law says. You are to honor your father and mother." And I believe that this probably opens up a can of worms for some people, but I do believe that this passage indicates that adult children are morally responsible to take care of mom and dad in their old age. Not the government, not some other source, but the family takes care of mom and dad. It's part of the moral law. And yet, even in our day, forget the Pharisees and the scribes, even in our day, we have plenty of people that try to indicate to you, "Well, you don't need to do that. I'll just drop them off down there. They'll take care of them." My challenge to any of you, walk through a facility where moms and dads are being dropped off and just talk to a few of those moms and dads and ask them how long it's been since they've seen their kids, their adult kids. And then the next question is, how are they treating you in here? Yeah. Sometimes we just turn things right over to somebody else instead of knowing. Just know, with my own kids, I've pounded this command into their brains. I hope they take care of their mom and dad when that time comes. With this being Mother's Day, I want to ask two questions. We got the backdrop here. We're being reminded of a command that's clear that we are to honor. So here's the two questions. For what do we honor our mothers for? For what? And second, how? How can we honor our mothers? So let's look at this. I'm going to give you a little list here. It's not all encompassing. your list could be a little slightly different than my list, but I think that on anybody's top 10 hit list, at least some of these four that I'm going to mention ought to be there. For what do we honor our mothers? First of all, let us honor our mothers for the most obvious, and that is for our lives, for our very lives. It was mother who sacrificed her time, her strength, her body in order to give birth to all of us here. And why would she do such a thing, you might ask? Well, the obvious answer, I believe, is because of her love for her family. She underwent physical and psychological changes in this process. She suffered pain and emotional strain. And why, again? Because of love. Mothers, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for loving and caring for each of us. Thank you for putting up with us when we were not so easy to handle. And thank you for cleaning up behind us in more ways than one. Someone has said that if a man could have babies, that there would be a lot fewer babies in this world and a lot smaller families. And I just happen to agree with that assessment. I don't think it is any mistake on God's part when He created Eve for Adam, and that it would be Eve, by God's design, who would give birth to children. There is just something about a mother's love for children that seems to be a special gift from God. I've asked that question many times, and I don't always get an answer, but I do believe it has something to do with God and how He created a woman very special and uniquely to become a mother. Many times we do forget to thank mom for life. More times than we'd like to admit, I'm sure. This was Lisa's problem. Lisa was a young teenager who rebelled against the world and, of course, against her parents and against the church that she was raised in. She said that she didn't owe anything to anyone and said it often. One day a minister went to call on her, and after much discussion and seeming to get nowhere with this young woman, the minister asked Lisa, "Do you have a belly button?" And of course, Lisa looked at him a little strangely, and having never been asked that question before, and said, "Well, yes. Well, do you know what it means to have a belly button?" asked the minister. And believe it or not, there was some silence for a few minutes after he challenged her. Tears began to roll down her cheek. She had been confronted, you see, with the simple truth that she did owe something to someone. Something to someone. She owed her life to her mother. Let us thank our mothers for life here today. But second, let us honor our mothers for our education. You see, the most important part of our education is before we ever even go to school, believe it or not. We lose sight of that very important fact that has been revealed over and over and over again over the years. Research has shown that when a child reaches the age of 3, parents have done more than half of what they'll ever do to develop and shape the character of that child. Over half at the age of 3. This is why you need to do whatever you can with your children when they're small. It's not just because they probably need you or want you more, but it's because that's where those early suggestions and early challenges are shaping and molding a child to become what they will be one day. Of course, it is mother who usually spends the most time with children during this period. In those early years, we learn to love, we learn to obey. If you're in a Christian family, I would guess you learn to pray. We learn how to speak and how to be considerate of the rights of others, usually. Mothers are instrumental in teaching the little ones the important, I think, the real important lessons of life. And it all happens before they probably ever go to their first day of school. I know parents like to blame schools on, well, it's a school, you know, it's the group that they're in. But I don't know. Seems like a lot of training goes on before they ever go to school. But I think we need to thank our mothers for life, but we also need to thank them for the education and the training that they gave us in those early years. But third, let us honor our mothers for our homes, for our homes. Sure, father may be paying for the home through his work, but it is mother who makes the house truly a home. It's nice to come home to a clean, attractive, functional house, don't you think? I can remember many times as a young boy that my brothers and I would leave for school with a dirty room, clothes everywhere. Now, there were three of us in a very small room. One bed and one bunk bed. A little space between them. And let me tell you, it looked like Hurricane Charlie had gone through there every time we left. But you know, when we got home, something amazing happened. When we got home from school, that room was clean. The beds were neatly made. It smelt good. And clothes were all hung in the closet, as they should be. What did that teach us? Taught us mom cares. Mom loves us. That's what it taught me. And of course, I don't want you to get the wrong picture of my mom. She did not go behind us for 18 years when we were at home and pick up things behind us. As we grew older, Mom made sure that we got plenty of exercise, that we did plenty of chores. And I do remember a few times when Mom says, it's time to clean your room. Clean it. Pick up. And the way she said it, I can assure you, she meant business. Kids all know when their parents mean business and when they're just talking. My mom did very little talking. Well, she did a lot of talking, play talking, but when it came to instructions, there wasn't a lot of talk. And we knew it. And we knew when she wanted us motivated. Mother truly makes home, though, a nice place to be, don't you think? It is nice to sit down and eat a meal together as a family. Home cooked, yes. But who is it usually who begins hours before to prepare it and to get it ready and to make sure it's served on time? Mother. See, if it was left up to Father, what would be happening? Hurry up. Get ready. Hit the car. We're going out to eat today. There's not too many dads that are in the kitchen getting a meal ready. Sure, there's an occasional cook, father, you know, that may do that, but most of us, we're not that. Get in the car. We're going to go get a nice meal, but we're going to have to pay for it. That is, dad's going to pay for it. But mom, you say, woo, I've had a few of those dinners of late, and I'm just reminded so often, even when our kids are grown and gone, so to speak, they do come back to visit. But it's interesting how delicious a home-milled cooked meal is versus just something you buy. Big difference. It is nice to open the closet door and find clean clothes or your drawers. Who's usually responsible? It's mother. I've told this story to a few of you before, but I was in the hospital with a gentleman. We were waiting on his wife to go through major surgery at the time, so I was with him for a number of hours, and we talked about a number of topics, but somewhere along the way, he just kind of threw it out at me. He says, hey, preacher, do you have a magic drawer at home? I said, what? Yeah, magic drawer. What do you mean? He says, well, there's a drawer right beside my bed. And every day I open it and I reach in there and I usually can get my undershirt, my underpants, I can get my socks, and I just pull them out. Yeah? Well, I got a drawer like that where I open it up and I pull that out. He says, yeah, but does it do this? Do what? He says, well, the next day when I open it again, it's right there again. Underwear, shirts, socks. And I can't tell you how many years I've been opening that drawer. There's never been one day that underpants, undershirts, socks have not been in that drawer. And I've just come to call it the magic drawer. It's amazing. I said, I have a drawer and it's half magic. Had to be honest. There's been a few times I've opened my drawer and it's been empty. But his, what was he doing? Yeah, he was worried about his wife. He thought he might lose her in that surgery. That was his way of saying thank you to a wife, but she was a mother as well. And I bet you she did that for all her kids. They all had magic drawers because that's the kind of mother and wife that she was. Amazing. All right, so again, not an all-encompassing list, but there's a few things you can chew on today as you leave here. But now let me ask the second question as we close today. How can we honor our mothers? Those were some things that kind of bring it on, but how do we go about doing this now? Let me give you just a couple of suggestions, actually just two. First of all, we can honor our mothers by expressing our affection, our affections to them. We can do this in a number of ways, though, but consider at least three suggestions on how we can show our affection to our mothers. We can express our affections to them by being courteous around them. Little things are never little when done for mother. The helping word, the thoughtful deed, the expression of love, the thankfulness, I think all mean a lot to mothers when coming from their kids. Two, by speaking to them in love, saying the words, I love you, thanks, Mom. Those are all little messages that mean a great deal when they come from a sincere heart of a child who is receiving the benefits of mother. You see, the day comes way too soon when we are no longer in our mother's presence or even have an opportunity to speak words of kindness. My mom left a long time ago. My wife, Sarah, said, I'm going to go see my mom Sunday. I said, get on down there. You need to. She's in her 90s. Who knows how much longer she'll be here. When you have the time, do you make the time? When they get older and it's harder to help or to do things for her, do you still try to do what you can? Speaking to them in love, I think, is also shown by love actions as well, by just being there. Sarah's mother does not live in town, so she has to drive. She has to make a commitment. But she does. And third, I would say that a way that we can show our affection to our mothers is by complimenting them. Nobody cooks better meals than mother. Do you tell her so? Nobody looks nicer than mother when she dresses up to go out. Have you told her recently? Of course, I'm biased. I'll admit it. I do think I had the world's greatest mom. And I do thank God often for her. I know for some people this day is always tough because it brings memories that kind of hurt sometimes. But let me tell you, Mother's Day is always big on my calendar. I love my mom. Got to thinking about that and figuring that she left about my age right now. That's when she left the world. Way too early. So I can't tell her, but I tell others about them. I tell my kids often, I said, if your grandma was here, I bet you she would do this. And she would. I talk about her often. But my second point, I'm convinced my mom would say, she wouldn't mean it, but she would say, forget the first one, do the second. And what is that? How can we honor our mothers? The second way that we can honor our mothers is by living the Christian life. Do you get that? Everyone, by living the Christian life. If you had a Christian mother and she's gone, I would tell you that that's what honors her more than anything else. And I would say when she was here, it probably honored her more than anything else. To see that you grew up and you took some of the principles and some of the moral laws and some of the directives that come directly from the Bible, and she sees that you've applied them to your life. And she probably would never tell you publicly, but silently, she's thanking God. Thank you, God, for giving me a chance. To influence the life of all my kids. Yes, I'm convinced that this would probably be the greatest way that any Christian can honor a Christian mother by living the life that is so pleasing to God. I also think that when we don't live it, it's probably how we hurt our mothers the most here on earth. They don't know how to express it, but they're so hurt in their heart of hearts to see the kids that they have spent so much time with going awry and heading down a pathway that at least at one point may seem like destruction to them. I'm thankful today for my mother and her concern for my life. I know I've shared this before, but I'll say it again. If it was not for my mother's prayers and her concerns for me, there would be a question whether I'd be in full-time Christian ministry today. Ran into a few mainland Buccaneers this morning. Feels good. But let me tell you, when I graduated from Mainland High School in 1976, I had nothing on my calendar and on my plate, education-wise or otherwise, to go into any kind of Christian ministry. But if you talk to my mom, she says, "He's going to be a preacher." He doesn't know it today, but he's going to be, how do you know? I'm praying. Let me tell you, I've said it before, don't go against a praying mother. And certainly don't bet against her, because you'll lose. Especially if she's sincere. She never stopped praying when I told her many times to stop praying. Mom, just stop it. No. You have the gene, son. I don't pray that prayer for your brother. And she didn't. My older brother. She didn't pray that prayer for him. But she did for me and my younger brother. And guess what? We're still in ministry today. How'd she know? She's a mother. Mothers know these things. They're in tune with God and His will. They know how to pray, and they know how to be consistent, long-suffering, and they never give up. And I thank God, because you see, today as I look back, I do know now, I didn't then, but I do know now that I am involved in the greatest work in all the world of saving souls forever. So, I thank my mom, and I thank moms here. Thank you. If you instilled Christian principles in the life of your kids, and if you're still able to influence and pray, keep praying. Because prayer makes a difference. It really does. So as we come to the end of this message, I do want to ask that question I ask every week, and that is, what about your life here today? As you think about your mom, do some good memories come? I realize that not everybody has the same good memories that I have. But you can make the difference, though. If you don't have any good memories, raise kids to know God. Help them to have good memories. I was at my mom's funeral, and I've been out of her life for almost 10 years, away, gone, studying. Haven't seen her, haven't been much involved in her ministry, what's going on in her life. She lived here, I lived up north. But I can't tell you, because I lost track of how many people, non-family people, who came and said, if it wasn't for your mother, I would never have been saved. And how did that feel? Great. Mom didn't talk the talk. She wasn't relying on two sons to do her work till the day she died. She was studying the Bible, studying with other people, bringing them the salvation. And only at her funeral did I know how many. And I don't have a number, I just lots. I would not be a Christian today if it wasn't for your mother. Wow. What a testimony that is. Love it. What about your life today? I hope that your life is safe and secure in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If your mother was instrumental in that, praise God for mothers. Maybe directing you a little bit. Maybe who was it that said you got to go to church? More mothers make kids go to church than fathers, I can tell you that. Thank God for the mothers when it comes to church. And when I see a father who brings a boy, I praise him even more because I know how tough that is in a society that doesn't really think fathers can do it. And when they're doing it, God bless them. Because they're making an impact on their son or their daughter or whoever they're bringing in that moment. But I do thank God for all you mothers, and I pray that as we depart here today, that if your mother had a prayer for you, and if her prayer was, I want my son or my daughter to be a Christian and I want them to be involved in the church, let me tell you, if that prayer has not been answered, it can today. Oh yeah. All it takes is the decision. Let's not live on the history of our parents. Let's begin a new history and let's make Jesus Lord and Savior of our lives if He's not, as we stand and sing our hymn of decision. Crowd here today. Thank you for coming and making this a special day for us. I would tell you the day is not over. It's just half over because we're going to go enjoy a nice meal. As you eat it, just think of your mom, you know. Now, unfortunately, men fix this meal. May not be quite as home-cooked as you would like it, but let me tell you, we've tried hard to make it as home-cooked as possible. And so keep your mother focused as you enjoy the meal, and let's have a time of fellowship and sharing together over dinner. I know Mother's Day tends to be a day a lot of people go out, and we're just trying to tell you, half jokingly, you know, 15 minutes you'll be eating back here, not waiting 2 hours if you go somewhere. So we do want to encourage you to stay if you can. It gives us a chance to get to know you just a little bit better. In your bulletins, there are a number of announcements that I hope that you'll take note of. In the foyer, there's sign-ups for a few of those things that if you're going to be part of it, it's always good to know who's going to be part of WOW. I know that's coming up. And CIA dinner, that's coming up. So those are things that we have to kind of prepare and call ahead and let people know that we're doing things. So if you plan to be part of that, please let us know in the foyer. The sign-ups that are there are very helpful. Mothers, don't forget, where's Don? Don. He's in the back. All right, I need someone. let me look here. Who can I? Wayne. I'm going to ask Wayne. I don't know if he's put a big basket of bags. Let me see. I'm looking. It's back there, so never mind. All right, so there's a basket right there in the middle as you leave here today. that's for all of our mothers and women of the church. I think we get plenty, and we hope that you'll grab a bag and know that that's in lieu of a carnation. We just didn't think the carnation got very far because I was picking up a lot of them after the service was over. At least maybe if you take that little bag of goodies, that it'll get used and last a little longer. And it is to remember and thank you for your help and service as a mother. God needs our mothers in service these days. So thank you for being here today. Any other announcements that we need to make before we're dismissed here today? What? Is there a birthday?
Dale.
Are you holding out on us back there, Dale? Ah, he's raising his hand. All right, Dale has a birthday.
She's in the little
girl's room. Eleanor, where's Eleanor?
She's in the little girl's room.
Well, you know, if we sing loud enough, she can hear us in that ladies' room if she's right here, because it's about right there. All right, so we'll sing and... Yes?
Mine's the 15th.
Birthday's the 15th?
Yeah. Mom's is the 13th, and mine is the 15th, and then our wedding anniversary is on Mom's birthday also.
I didn't know you had a birthday, so that's, thank you for letting us know that. But how many years have you been married, Chris?
It will be 21 years.
21 years. Very good. All right. Chris and Jeff, and congratulations on that. There it is. All right. We did have that up there. I didn't. I was looking. That does say birthday, doesn't it? So on a different slide. There it is, Chris. Is that the right date? Is that the right date? All right. Very good. So let's do what we can do in a small church, and let's sing Happy Birthday. Happy Birthday
to you. Happy Birthday to you. Happy birthday,
dear Lord. Happy birthday to you. See? Don't you miss him? Yeah. When Al's not here, that booming voice coming through at the end there. Now, he's here today. We prayed for him. That's the Al Miles that prayed. He's back here in the back. And just know he has been having some health issues, but what a trooper, stormtrooper he is. He's in charge of our kitchen ministry, so this is what he loves doing. But just know that if you don't see him running around and rubbing elbows with our buddies, because he's just out of breath. And he has to kind of keep calm. So just know that. All right. Any other announcements before we're dismissed? All right. I hope that we will go out that door, women, mothers, grab the bag, and then shoot over here and go down this hallway down to our fellowship hall, Or you can go out here and walk down the outside, if you wish, to our fellowship doors down there. But that's where everything starts. And we're going to have a prayer, a closing prayer, but we're also have a prayer for our meal for those that will be there. And Judy, I didn't see you earlier. You are. Were you here when I prayed? Oh, I didn't even see you back there. So Judy Turner, as I prayed, I didn't think she was here. So why? Because she sits up here. What are you doing back there? Get up here in front. I get so used to people being in certain spots, and if they're not there, they're not here. But let's we're going to have a prayer so that when you get back there, whether you get in line or not, just know that when they say it's ready, just get in line and start serving, because we've already blessed the meal and our time together. And let's stand, and we'll do that right now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this beautiful Lord's Day and this time that we not only can focus on you and your Son and all that he's done for us, but we can thank you for sending mothers into our world, creating them with special love that they have for each of us. We thank you for their presence here today, for all their ministries and helps that they give to us. May they depart here, Father, hopefully feeling encouraged and appreciate it in all that they do. Bless our time now, Father, in our fellowship hall as we share a meal together. Thank you for all the food that's been prepared and is ready, I believe, right now to be served. Bless that time. May we get to know one another just a little bit more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing course today. Awesome God.